Father, we approach thy throne of grace at this time, again very thankful for the blessings of this day. We thank you for the restful night's sleep that we've had, and we thank you for this another day of convention to come apart from the world and its cares, to be refreshed again on the spiritual things, the things which delights our hearts and minds so. We ask your blessing upon the one who's been raised up at this time, Brother Wilmot, and we ask a blessing upon his thoughts on this heavenly truth that we delight in so. We pray that he might have a message from thy storehouse of truth through his lips and through his consecrated mind, which would be a benefit to each and every one of us, a help for us in this walk in a narrow way. So we leave this hour in thy care and keeping, asking your blessing upon it for the edification of all the body members here in this auditorium this day. We leave it in thy care and keeping. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We have appreciated Brother George Wilmot's example of consecration in the 16 years that we've gotten to know him and Sister Ruth. In fact, we met Sister Ruth at the last Strickland Farm Convention in 1975 and Brother George a little bit later that summer. And he shared with us at Denver that he has passed 40 years of walking in the narrow way in Christ. And that's a wonderful recommendation of how the Lord has used him. And he has had many experiences in promoting the harvest truth, standing firm for the harvest lessons that come to us from the pen of our pastor. Brother George's discourse this morning is going to be accompanied with a handout, and the brethren are handing that out now. And if after they seem to have gotten everyone, if you've been missed, just raise your hand and they will be sure to catch you. Brother George's topic is entitled Time Features Interwoven into God's Plan. Time Features Interwoven into God's Plan. Brother George.
If I were in Romania, I would greet you with Pace Vouă, which translated is peace be unto you. Sister Ruth and I were greeted at the restaurant this morning with lovely smiles from the young man and the young lady who waited on us. It was a delightful way to start a beautiful day. Sister Elizabeth from Romania, Sister Ruth and I bring you greetings from the Fort Worth Ecclesia as well as from our brethren in Romania. We would like to invite all of you who can attend the convention in October to do so. It will be held at the Ramada Inn in Fort Worth on October the 17th through the 20th. The length of the convention is about the same length as the convention here. We have many brethren who have promised to serve us at that convention. As Brother Stein mentioned, this is our 40th anniversary year of walking in the narrow way. We look back with joy to note how our Heavenly Father has tenderly led us day by day. We are grateful for the many privileges of service which we have had in ministering to those who shall be heirs of salvation, as well as to those who may become our brethren in Christ. It has been a privilege at this convention to fellowship with a number of you whose first contact with the truth was through the Divine Plan program. We do ask your continued prayers on behalf of the truth as it goes forth every week. We endeavor to present our lessons both to the brethren and to the public in the spirit of tolerance and goodwill toward all. It has been our privilege to use many illustrations to present this beautiful plan of the ages. These illustrations enable us to remember the truth always. Sister Elizabeth, Sister Ruth, and I had the privilege of coming to this convention on a Delta jet. We left the earth for a short time. Finally, we arrived at our destination here in Louisville. The handout, one of the handouts that you have been given, will remind us how that when we made a full consecration, we left this earth and the things behind. This handout, which we hope that you will carefully and prayerfully read, will enable us to carry out our consecration more fully. It was not too long until Sister Betty reminded us, as we had left the earth in the jet plane, of a reprint article which we had the privilege of reading and discussing at our home recently, entitled From Strength to Strength. They Go From Strength to Strength, I think is the perhaps the correct title of it. Sister Elizabeth reminded us as we were ascending how that we were going from strength to strength. So think of that illustration. We're going upward in this narrow way, and we have strength day by day as we walk in the narrow way. I suppose that most of you, maybe all of you, have seen that beautiful painting of a guardian angel assisting two children across an old bridge. How many of you have seen that painting? I think it will illustrate the point how that it is necessary as we progress in the narrow way, very close to our dear Redeemer as we're walking in His footsteps. We must not stray too far to the right or too far to the left. If we do, we'll fall off the bridge. We'll not be able to keep in the narrow way. Let your moderation be known unto all. There's another illustration that some of you have seen. It was given to us. Just visualize the four corners of a pasture where they come together, fenced in, with four cows feeding in each corner of that pasture. And the picture shows that this cow in this pasture is feeding on the grass in the next pasture, and so on. The grass seems to be a little greener on the other side of the fence. Brethren, we have the truth. Let us feed upon this wonderful truth. Let us not go browsing into other pastures. We have been very appreciative of this beautiful theme text. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I have appreciated this chart of the ages, which reminds us that this truth has come down from heaven to us. Brethren, we have been served with this meat in due season by our returned Lord through the ministry of Pastor C.T. Russell. This is a wonderful vision. That servant was enabled by the Lord to write down the vision and to make it plain upon tables that every one of us may read it fluently. We encourage you, as you study the truth, to place everything within that chart. That is God's plan. And not only are you in it, but all the families of the earth. I trust that each one of you has received this handout, Time Features Interwoven into God's Plan. We would like for you to fill in some answers as we proceed. You will note that we have 7 rectangles here. On the first rectangle, we have printed 1,000 years. We have done the same on number 7. I would like for you at this time to write 1,000 for each of the other periods of time there. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Psalm 90, verse 4, and 1 Peter 3, 8 remind us of this fact. From paradise lost to paradise restored is a period of 7,000 years. We just noted something that we want to correct on this chart. Go over these things time and again, and then something will just hit you in the face. We have the creation of Adam in the wrong place. It should be over to the beginning of the 2 years. Where that we have creation of Adam should be paradise lost. So please correct that. We believe that Adam was in the Garden of Eden 2 years before he was driven from that beautiful paradise and started walking on the broad way which leads to death. Plain R on the chart of the ages. I trust that we are all convinced that this is a period of 7,000 years from paradise lost to paradise restored. We believe that the many scriptures in the Bible on the third day should convince us of the harmony and beauty of these time features which have been interwoven into God's plan. Adam lived on that first 1,000-year day. We recall how that the Heavenly Father, his Creator, had told him that if he disobeyed, if he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, dying, he would die. Adam lived to the age of 930 years. That means that he walked on the Broadway for 928 years, finally reaching the end of that Broadway and going into oblivion, the Bible hell. We note that Noah lived within the second 1,000-year day. You will note on the chart that we have the length of time from paradise lost to the flood as being 1,654 years. That chronology is found in the scriptures and beautifully presented in The Time Is at Hand. We want to call particular attention not only to day one, but to day three, to day five, and to day seven. We keep in mind that these are 1,000-year days. Abraham was one of the faithful patriarchs who pleased the Heavenly Father. The Creator chose him because of his faith to enact his beautiful drama of the ages. You recall that beautiful account in Genesis 22, verse 2, where that the Creator said to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." In this beautiful drama, Abraham pictured our loving Heavenly Father. Isaac pictured God's only begotten Son. God so loved the world, the condemned world of sinners, Adam and all of his race, that he sent his dear Son to earth to die for you, for me, and for all mankind. In verse 4, we have brought to our attention, "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." Please note on your handout, day 3, and this scripture in Genesis 22, which brings to our attention that it was the third day that Abraham, on this journey, saw the place afar off. You will note that on the 3,000-year day from Adam's fall into sin and death. Abraham, full of faith, as we note, continuing here in chapter 22, went so far as to lift the knife in his hand to slay his son Isaac. Then the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." In this drama, Abraham was not called upon to actually slay Isaac. Abraham's faith had been sufficiently tested. However, in the case of our loving Heavenly Father, who could not die because he is immortal, turned his back upon his dear son Jesus in order that our Lord, our dear Redeemer, might take the place of Adam. Our Lord went into the Bible hell, but was resurrected on the third day. That's a part of the subject a little later on, his resurrection on the third day. Let us note at this point that the death of our Lord occurred on the third 1,000-year day from the drama. Mark it there, the cross, 33 A.D., a part of the third 1,000-year day, all of the fourth, and the first part of the fifth would bring us to the third day from this beautiful drama of the plan of the ages. Continuing in Genesis 22, we note in verse 15 that the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." In this beautiful drama, two classes in God's plan are brought to our attention. The stars of heaven would represent those who will be in the spiritual phase of the kingdom. The sand upon the seashore represents those who will be in the earthly phase of the kingdom. All of these will be Abraham's seed. Paul reminds us in Galatians 3:29, after stating in verse 16 that primarily the seed of Abraham is Christ the head, "If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Eventually, all who gain life on any plane will have to come under the headship of our Lord, beautifully shown in that completed pyramid from line 10 to line 11. We note that the blessing of all the families of the earth is on day 7. The Messianic Age, the Millennial Age, the Restitution Age. Yes, part of the fifth day, the day on which our Lord died, all of the sixth, and then the seventh, the third day, is the time for the blessing of all the families of the earth. Write it here on your chart, number 7. That's the Restitution Age, the Resurrection Age. It's the time of the fulfillment of this wonderful promise given to Abraham for his earthly seed, represented by the sand upon the seashore. The first part of this seventh day is the time for the resurrection of the spiritual seed of Abraham. Did this happen by chance? Did it happen by chance that the drama occurred on the 3,000-year day from the fall of Adam into sin and death? That the death of our Lord would be on the third day from that drama, and the blessing of all mankind on the third day from the cross? We believe that it is God's way of confirming our faith. How firm a foundation we have. May we turn to Genesis 24 and note another beautiful drama in God's plan. For sake of time, we're going to just recall our minds to that occasion when Abraham asked his servant to go back to his native land to select a bride for his son Isaac. The servant, being an obedient servant, follow the instructions of his master Abraham. He went on this journey, and there at the well found Rebekah at the well. She gave the servant water to drink, and not only to that servant, but also to his camels. The servant of Abraham asked Rebekah if she would go back with him to become the bride of Isaac. Her family said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" What was her answer? Genesis 24, verse 58, "I will go." That reminds us of the time when we were invited to become the bride of Christ. And we're thankful that your answer was, "I will go." We have never seen our Lord. Rebekah had never seen Isaac. However, we have the assurance that when our Lord appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, now a glorious divine spirit being. This drama of the marriage of Rebekah to Isaac took place on the 3,000-year day from Adam. We come down to the third day from that time, the time for the selection, the beginning of the selection of the bride and the bridegroom on part of the fifth, all of the sixth, and the early part of the seventh. Continuing in Genesis 24, we are informed that after this long journey on the camels back to Isaac, it was eventime when Isaac had gone to meditate in the field. He lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Verse 63, Genesis 24. Rebekah said, verse 65, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. We are reminded that on the 3,000-year day from the time that the bride began to be selected, it is now evening time, the evening time of the gospel age and the dawning of the millennial age, the 3,000-year day. Our Lord is in the field. Our Lord has returned. 1874 on your chart, the beginning of this last day, this seventh day. The reason why the chart is not drawn to scale is that the last age on the chart is the most important, so to speak. That is the last day, the seventh day, the resurrection age, the restitution age, the day of judgment, the day of the Lord, and so forth. The third day from the first advent of Jesus. Soon, we believe, this veil that separated Rebekah from Isaac will be removed, and we shall see our Lord as He is. We will pass under that second veil into the Most Holy in the first resurrection. The first resurrection has been going on now for more than 100 years. Soon the bride will have made herself ready. Let's take another lesson about another marriage. This is recorded in John, the second chapter. Turn with me to John, the second chapter. We would like to note that there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and this was on the third day. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." Now, why was it the third day? It was the third day from this drama with Abraham and Isaac and Rebekah. We note that Jesus and his disciples were called to this marriage. Our Lord did not invite himself to be the head of the church, which is his body. Neither do we invite ourselves to become the bride of Christ. It is by invitation. We are called in the one hope of our calling. That door to the high calling is still open. True, the general call has been closed for more than 100 years. However, now, since 1881, it is by invitation that we have been invited to come in. If there is an opening, the Heavenly Father will invite us to come up higher. Now, again, noting that this drama or this marriage in Cana occurred on day 5, we come down to the beginning of day 7, the 3,000-year day, and there we note that the marriage of the bride to the bridegroom occurs. On your chart, what pyramid is it that depicts the full union? It is pyramid W on plane K. This denotes the full union of the bride to the bridegroom. The wise virgins are now entering in. The ones who have been resurrected are on plane L, pyramid R, with our returned Lord. Soon, that full union will be complete. The veil, the second veil, will be removed. All of the faithful will then see our Lord as He is and become partakers of His own nature, the divine nature. Our Lord having received that at the time of His resurrection from the dead. Now let's return again to the third day from Adam. This time we're going to turn to Exodus, the 19th chapter. This lesson should have been given yesterday afternoon when you heard the thunders, and we didn't see the lightnings, but I'm sure that they were there. But I think all of us heard the rumbling outside. Well, this will get the setting for Exodus 19. This is the time of the inauguration of the Old Law Covenant with Moses as mediator. This inauguration of the Old Law Covenant was on the third thousand-year day from Adam's fall into sin and death. Let's note a few verses there. Verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Verse 11. And be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Why the third day? The third day from Adam's fall into sin and death. Verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people who were in the camp tremble. First of all, we want to emphasize that this inauguration of the Old Law Covenant was on the third day at the hands of Moses, the mediator, who was typical of the better mediator. Moses was an individual. The better mediator consists of not only Christ the head, but His body members. We would call attention to the fact that the third day from this inauguration of the Old Law Covenant brings us down to the death of our Lord, whose blood, now passing through all of the consecrated during the Gospel Age, part of the fifth, all of the sixth, and the early part of the seventh, is to seal the new law covenant on the third day, or the seventh day from Adam. Did that happen by chance? Of course not. Let us go back now to the inauguration of the old law covenant. It was amidst thunders and lightnings and clouds and a trumpet. The result was that the people were fearful. Let's go down to the seventh day, to the early morning hours of this age in which we're now living, the dawning of the millennial age. Men's hearts are failing them for fear as they note current events. The banks are failing. The insurance companies are going under. The old order is being removed. The leaders are trying to patch it up. But it has been weighed in the balances and has been found wanting. It must go to make room for this new order. Why then were those events of nature back there taking place at the time of the inauguration of the Old Law Covenant? It was to enable the Israelites to be attracted to Moses, the mediator. Why are events in the earth now taking place? These events are preparing the hearts of mankind for this new kingdom for which we pray, this earthly phase of the kingdom. The old, though, must be removed. The people must yearn for this better time. Hence, the purpose of this time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation occurring here early in the morning of the third day from the death of our Lord. Furthermore, we note that there was a trumpet back there on the third day at the time of the inauguration of the Old Law Covenant. This reminds us of the fact that the seventh trump is now sounding. When did it begin to sound? Here at the beginning of the seventh day. How long will it sound? For 1,000 years. This message of truth will eventually reach every member of Adam's race, including those who have died. By evening time, by the close of this 1,000-year day, it will be light. It will be perfect. Let us now go to another patriarch who lived on the third day from Adam. He is the grandson of Abraham, Jacob. We note that from Jacob's death to the death of Jesus is a period of 1845 years. Had you before noticed that this 1845 years, which is less than 2,000 years, spans part of the third, all of the fourth, and part of the fifth? It was the third day from the death of Jacob to the death of Jesus. Had you before noticed that their period of disfavor, being an equal portion, also spans part of the fifth, all of the sixth, and the very first portion of the seventh? Friends, if the Bible chronology were wrong, if the millennial age is future, then this double would have no meaning. But as it is, God so interwove the time features so that we would have a firm foundation. In Isaiah 40, a scripture that is very familiar to us, in verse 2 we read, "Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare, her double, her appointed time is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." 1845 years of favor, spanning parts of 3 days. 1845 years of disfavor, also spanning a portion of 3 days. Since 1878, favor has gone to that tiny nation of Israel. True, they have had many experiences of trouble since 1878. However, God calls it favor. We should do the same. God first used the fishers, the Zionist movement, to attract some back to their homeland. When that didn't succeed, He sent the hunters. This caused a representative group to start returning to their homeland. This morning in my personal reading, I was reading from volume 4 on the time of Jacob's trouble, volume 4, pages 552 through 558. We encourage you to review it once again. Each time we review this, as well as all of the beautiful truths, we are encouraged to note the wonderful truth presented there. As we have mentioned, the hunting method did cause much much trouble upon the Jews. But we submit, and we think this is the scriptural teaching, and also backed by the pastor's teaching, who had the scriptural authority, that Jacob's trouble will come at the very last part of this great time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Israel, as well as all of the Gentiles, have been affected by this trouble since 1874, when Michael stood up. And then in 1914, the trouble began in spasms, war, revolution, anarchy. We submit that the beginning stages of anarchy started in the 1960s. However, the four winds are still being held back. Why? Because this is giving us an opportunity to make our calling and election sure. These fallen angels, these demons who were restrained from the time of the flood until 1874, the beginning of the judgment day, are now being granted liberty to manifest outwardly their heart condition. Gradually, the restraint has been removed. Particularly, much restraint was removed in the 1960s and continues to be done, thus permitting these fallen angels to manifest outwardly what is in their heart. Most of the saints are already beyond the veil because it is the third day from the first advent. The first resurrection is in progress. Therefore, our returned Lord and the saints with him are in a position to read the hearts of these demons. The ones who have not repented will, in due time, we believe at the close of the great time of trouble, be destroyed. The ones who have repented will be restored eventually to fellowship with God and with the other holy angels. So we can see that these winds are being held back until the church is complete. However, there's not too much time left, we believe. Enough time for the selection of the bride. Certainly, our time is getting shorter as we, year by year, age. When I think of being consecrated for 40 years, I can hardly believe it. It seems as if it were just a short time ago when I went to the first General Convention, just after symbolizing my consecration in 1951 at Bowling Green. My, the years have gone by in a hurry, but blessed years indeed. Remember, though, that there is still time for one to make his calling and election sure before total, complete anarchy. Now may we go to another scripture regarding Israel, which we find to be very thrilling. This is Hosea, the sixth chapter, verses 1 and 2. Hosea, the sixth chapter, 1 and 2. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Now, on your handout, place this scripture as a part of the fifth, all of the sixth, and then the seventh day or the third day from the first advent is the time of the raising up of Israel. After 2 days, part of the fifth and all of the sixth, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Israel is now being raised up. Since 1878, it is time to speak comfortably to her, that her appointed time has been accomplished. True, as we have already noted, that tiny nation will experience one more wave of trouble, which we believe is the very final part of the time of trouble. That trouble will be permitted to attract the people in Israel to our dear Redeemer. when the Heavenly Father, through the Christ, head and body, Matthew 24:22, fights for Israel as God did in the days of old, a representative group will be ready for the inauguration of that new law covenant at the hands of the better mediator. However, before that can occur, we again review the fact that the merit of Christ, which is passing through the consecrated during a part of the fifth, all of the sixth, and the early part of the seventh, must become available before that new covenant can be sealed with the precious blood of Christ. That new covenant arrangement will have its earthly representatives the faithful ones of old, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those faithful ones that we've seen, many of whom lived on that third day from Adam. Of course, it also extends some previous to that period of time. These faithful ones will be made princes in all the earth. The kingdom which will start in Israel will grow and grow until eventually it will fill the entire earth. May we now turn to a scripture which is sometimes a puzzle to some. Jonah, the first chapter, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We know that our Lord referred to this, and that he was in the death state 3 days and three nights. The thought being parts of 3 days and three nights. Our Lord was crucified on a Friday afternoon. He was dead part of Friday, all day Saturday, and was raised when? On the third day, early in the morning. We have this brought to our attention many places in the Scriptures. We would note in the Gospels the account of the resurrection. Matthew's account brings to our attention that our Lord was resurrected early in the morning. Chapter 28 of Matthew, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And then they found out that our Lord had been resurrected. The first day of the week being Sunday. So this confirms that our Lord was dead part of Friday, all day Saturday, but was raised early on the third day. That was the third 24-hour day, but picturing the resurrection of his body members on the third thousand-year day from his resurrection. Now, again, as a further confirmation, let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 3 and 4, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to Paul's understanding. Well, yes, according to his understanding, but Paul's understanding came from the Scriptures. Paul reminds us that it was the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, as we've already seen, we're in the third thousand-year day, early in the morning, the resurrection morning. Paul goes on to tell us in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, how that the dead in Christ have been raised, and those of us who are alive and remain, as we finish our earthly course faithfully, do not have to sleep even for a moment, but are changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. A further confirmation about the trumpet is brought to our attention here by Paul. After reminding us that sleeping saints would be raised first, and then we, as we finish our earthly course, would be changed, reminds us that this is at the last trump, the seventh day, the early part of the seventh day. He says, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." In other words, what Paul is telling us here is that those saints who slept down through the gospel age, some of them part of the fifth, all of the sixth, and until the early morning hours of the seventh, were under the power of corruption. But in 1878, they were given incorruptible bodies. Those of us who finish our earthly course from 1878 to the present, and until the church is complete, do not have to be under the power of corruption even for a moment, but are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This mortal must put on immortality. Now, in both cases, the incorruptible body and the immortal body refer to those who will be partakers of the divine nature. These will have life within themselves. When that last one passes beyond the veil, the marriage will have taken place fully, and then it will be time for children to be born. "Instead of thy fathers," referring to the ancient worthies, "shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth." Isn't that a wonderful picture after the marriage takes place? And then eventually, all of those in Israel and all of the Gentiles will have the privilege of becoming children of the Christ. In this picture, our Heavenly Father will be the grandfather. Of course, at the end of the 1,000 years, the kingdom will be turned over to the Heavenly Father so that He may be all in all. Brethren, we trust that your faith has been strengthened as a result of this beautiful harmony of the time features. May we hold on to the fact that God is an exact timekeeper, and that He has confirmed this through the many dramas and scriptures in His Word. May He overrule anything which was done or said amiss. May you continue to rightly divide the word of truth. May the Lord bless you.
We thank Brother George very much for that. The time features within God's plan. They are such a confirmation to us. And how many independent lines of the chronology seem to converge so beautifully on the date of Christ's return, and our faith is increased by it. So we thank you very much for that, Brother George. As you saw, I've been inundated with some
loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this firm foundation which we find in Thy Word of Truth. We thank Thee for Thy beautiful plan of the ages. We thank Thee for the beautiful time features which have been interwoven into that plan. We thank Thee for the gift of Thy dear Son, who gave His life, not only for us, but for all mankind, to be testified in due time. We thank Thee for the privileges that we have had since we've entered this narrow way. We pray that we might keep very close to Thee, to the truth, and to the brethren. We pray that when we do stray away from Thee, that Thou will bring us back according as You have promised in a parable given by our Lord. And we pray that we might endeavor to lay down our lives for the brethren and for those who might yet become our brethren. To this end, we continue to pray Your blessing upon the general interests of the harvest work. We pray that You will send forth more laborers into this harvest work. We thank Thee now at this time for this privilege of meeting with a group of Thy consecrated people. We pray that during our fellowship together, we might honor and praise Thy most holy name. Please forgive us for our many shortcomings in thought, word, and deed. Help us to do better day by day as we endeavor to stay close to Thee. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these favors. Amen.